Why Jesus came. In the beginning, God. Whatever God became conscious of came into visibility. That is what we call creation, and it was very good. God became conscious of a universe unlike himself, inhabited by creatures unlike himself, although begotten out of himself. Then he became conscious of a being like himself, in his image and likeness, which came into visibility and was also very good. And to that image, man, God gave dominion over all the rest of creation. Because man was in the likeness of God, he was one with God and had the same capacity as God to bring into visibility that which he was conscious of. See, consciousness manifested. Initially, he was conscious only of God and God's creation, and only that was visible to him. This state of perfection is what is known as the Garden of Eden. But there came a point where man became conscious of himself as a being separate from God. This initial thought was the beginning of what is referred to in Scripture as the carnal mind, or the human consciousness, or the eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Before this point, where time began, man experienced only good and very good. Because man believed himself to be separate from God, he believed that he must do something to bridge that gap between himself and God. That was the beginning of the law and of religion. See, one with God and mental knowledge versus spiritual revelation. He became conscious of a world of pain and suffering, birth and death, sickness and poverty. And because he was one with God, though he no longer had the knowledge of this oneness, what he became conscious of, he brought into visibility. And this universe and its inhabitants were not very good, but it was all he could see. He was the prodigal who had wandered far from his father's house and was living in the pigsty. In truth, man was never separated from God, but his belief that he was caused him to experience the feeling of separation. God was always there and always speaking. Sometimes an isolated individual would hear the still small voice and experience God on some level. Enoch and Elijah experienced enough to ascend beyond this plane of thought and enter the next dimension. Others experienced many miracles and manifestations of the presence of God, but mankind as a whole continued to descend into gross darkness. The descendants of Abraham, who had more experience of God than most, especially their religious leaders, had become so steeped in religion that they were what Jesus called whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. In order to make himself known to man, God, in his infinite love for man, himself descended into this universe of man's making, the only universe that man could see. Not the universe of God's creating, where man still lived and had his being, but which he was no longer conscious of. Yes, God descended into man's universe of birth and death by allowing himself to be born, and all that is born must also die, and take on the likeness of sinful flesh. He took upon himself the form of Jesus and came to save man from his belief that he was separate from God. He was born of a woman and was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. He was consciously aware of his oneness with God even from an early age. He knew that he was about his Father's business. He hungered and thirsted and was tempted to perform supernatural acts. He was tempted to become powerful and rule over mankind. He was even tempted to fall down and worship that carnal mind of man, the father of all lies, yet without sin. He never yielded to those temptations. He had come into this world of man's making to bear witness to the truth that man is not, nor ever has been, separate from God. That death is not a reality, and that as Jesus was, so are we in this world. He came to show us who we are and where we are, sons of God, who live and move and have our being in God, and who have the kingdom of heaven within, not out there somewhere. He came not to save sinners, but to destroy them on the cross. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. He came not to save us from God's wrath, but to show us that God is love and has no wrath against anything but our belief that he does. He came not to judge and condemn us, but to save us from the thinking that we are separated from him. He came not to heal us, but to reveal to us that sickness has no reality. He came not to raise us from a physical death, but to reveal to us that physical death is nothing but a belief made visible. I am the resurrection. Believest thou this? If you believe this, you will never see death. He came to bring us back to Father's house in consciousness. We have never left except in the false human consciousness. He came to return us to the Garden of Eden, the New Jerusalem, the heaven on earth. He came to make the original creation again visible to us. Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, it is not possible to enter God's kingdom." He came to reveal to us that we are spirit being, not physical beings. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He came to show us that we are all one, not many, that we are all God being, though individualized expressions of a many-faceted God. He came to bring to us the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And as the Word was made flesh in Jesus, so it is made flesh in Jackie and whatever you call yourself. He came to bring us out of darkness into his marvelous light, the understanding of who we are and where we are.